father's tape, the last tape, we were talking about a former roommate of mine who was going to the United States Air Corps, Army Air Corps, and who had started out on a solo cross-country triangular flight. He was to fly from Kelly Field to Laredo, down the river to Brownsville, and back to Kelly Field. When he got to Laredo, he just continued on across the river and has never been heard of to this day. For many months, some 7 or 8, after this happened, and while I was working for the Shell Oil Company, my mail was watched by FBI, or Secret Service man, I believe it was, and it was some time before I realized it. When I did, I accosted one of these gentlemen and was told what the deal was. By that time, they were pretty well satisfied that I wasn't going to hear from him. Also, at the same time, his parents' mail was being watched. But he has never been heard of, and nobody knows whatever happened to him. He's disappeared from the face of the earth completely. I finished this year, sophomore year, without any particular incidents, not any great thing to brag about in grades, but I got through and made my grade point satisfactorily. Went home when school was out, and my mother was running a barbecue stand, making potato chips and frying chicken and whatnot, and I helped her for a while and then got a job on a pipeline that was being built through Woodward County. And I made enough money on this pipeline working to carry me through the first semester and get me enrolled into the second semester. That year, the school had changed the semester system off of the quarter system. Nothing unusual happened the first semester, as I made my grades without excessive worry, again collecting enough grade points to satisfy my necessary grade points, and made it through all right on the first semester. Soon after registering for the second semester, I saw that I wasn't going to have enough money to finish that semester, so I put in an application to borrow money from the Lou Wentz Loan Foundation, which had been set up by Mr. Lou Wentz, a large oil man, a well-known oil man of Ponca City. And I got $25 a month from that. I had a job as a building attendant in one of the buildings, which was the physics department, and proceeded to get along very well. During my sophomore year, the physics, I had taken a physics course under the head of the department, a Dr. Cloud, and he and I didn't see eye to eye on our grades. He was very set against the use of slide rules. I never did find out why he was so set against slide rules, except that he said it was an invention of the devil. I had a compadre that was also very much for slide rules, and the two of us would sit together in his class and work with our slide rules and problems that he would give out, and we'd drive at the answer, and usually, quite often, we'd make the mistake of saying the answer before he got it on the blackboard, and he finally told us that we just as well dropped the course because there wasn't any way we could pass it with us doing that, and we just as well dropped the course, and neither one of us would. So towards the end of the course, the problem came up calculating the speed of light, and he made the statement that anybody that could put that problem on the board and figure it out and explain it to the class the next session would have a passing grade and wouldn't even have to take the examination. This fellow and I were at that time working as building attendants in the chemistry laboratory, where we found one of the machines that you would figure the speed of light by. And we set it up and followed the directions and learned how to figure the speed of light by actually doing it. And so the next class period, we went back to class, and we were the only two that said they could put it on the board and explain it. So he asked me to put it on one side blackboard and the other fellow to put it on the other side blackboard, not looking at each other. Made me go into the hall while this other fellow explained it, called me in then and had me explain it. Dismissed the class with the exception of we two. After everyone had left the room, with the exception of the three of us, he called this other fellow and I down to his desk and said, I have a quandary. I told you fellows you wouldn't be able to pass this course. I also said that any of you that could put this problem on the board and explain it to my satisfaction, that you would not have to take examination and have a grade given. You both, your grades were fairly good, and I will have to keep my promise, I guess, as you wouldn't drop the course and your grades are okay. Another happening sometime during my sophomore year that turned out to be kind of comical. In one of the women's dormitories, there was a girl named Audrey Russell, I believe it was. She was a small girl, standing about 4'11", 5'1", maybe, somewhere in that neighborhood. And she had a great raucous laugh. I mean, anything she would let out with this peal of laughter and could be heard all over the place when she did. One day, as the editor of the Old Collegian, the college paper, and I were walking across the campus, and he was carrying a bottle of glass bottle of milk, as all milk came in glass bottles in those days. He was carrying this bottle of milk, and it slipped out of his hand, and he dropped it on the sidewalk and broke it. Down the ways, just a little ways in front of us, are coming towards us is little Audrey. And she let out her great laugh, and I says, "There you are, Ed." Little Audrey just laughed and laughed, because she knew all the time it was just milk. So the editor picked that up, started printing in his paper. Anything that happened, he'd put it down, and little Audrey laughed and laughed, because she knew it was only something so. And other papers started picking it up, and the college paper ran a contest giving a dollar every other day for the best little Audrey stories he got between times. I never did get one of the dollars. However, he copyrighted the thing in my name, his and my name, and other papers started picking up and paid some royalties. So I think I made $50 on the whole deal during the next couple years. Some 2 or 3 years ago, I saw a column in a paper. I think it was in a Houston, Texas paper. A fellow was, had this column as dead as. He ran other columns different, but this particular day he was running this column as dead as. He had dead as a doornail, and dead as a dodo, and dead as little Audrey stories. That's the last I've seen in print about little Audrey stories. I went home at the end of the year, and my mother was running a barbecue stand, barbecue beef, fried chicken, potato chips, and served quickie meals, and I helped her in that for a couple of weeks, and then got a job on a pipeline that was being built through Woodward County. And I worked on that pipeline until it was time to go back to school, and banked enough money to pay with, along with my Lou Wentz Foundation loan of $25 a month, and what I could earn as a building attendant and so on there in school, and maybe a few other odd jobs, that I got along very well that year, and didn't have any money worries whatever that year at all. I got first got back there at school, a fellow that he and I had signed up the room together at the next starting of the first semester of our junior year. And we'd left stuff there at, in the dormitory in a room they had set aside during the summer. The fellows that didn't want to carry everything they had home could leave it in there for a dollar. We got that and unpacked it. We had very liberally packed it up with plenty of mothballs in it to keep it from being ate up by moths. And we had a great pile of those mothballs laying on our desk as we were unpacking. And a couple freshman came along, and this roommate of mine looked out. He said, "Hey, you fellas got your mothballs?" And they had just got their freshman cap, and they says, "No, what about mothballs?" Says, "Well, every time any upperclassman sees you and asks you to see your mothballs, you'd better have a couple of them." And they said, "Well, where can we get them?" We said, "We have to have enough here and some here. We'll sell them to you for two for a nickel." Well, they purchased them. Each one of them purchased a couple of mothballs apiece. And so we thought that was pretty good. Pretty quick, more freshmen came along, and the first thing you knew, we were out of mothballs. And the other upperclassmen there in the dormitory had heard about that, and some of them that had packed their stuff in mothballs, they began to sell their mothballs to the freshmen. And it got out all over the campus, and you'd see a couple of freshmen going across the campus with their caps on, and some upperclassmen say, "You fellas got your mothballs." Well, if they didn't have, they told them they'd better get them in a hurry. And so the next semester, when it started, and the freshmen came in, they get their cap, why, they also got two mothballs with it. And stopped the deal. We fellas had left our stuff in the storage. It stopped us from having any sale for our old used mothballs. And I understand that that tradition remained until starting of the Second World War, when they did away with freshman caps and mothballs to be carried. I don't even think a freshman have to wear caps anymore there. Before the end of the first semester, a fellow came to me that lived in the room below me and said, "As you know, I have the agency for the B&M Cleaners Cleaning and Pressing Company." And he says, "I'm going to have to give it up this next semester because I'm going to graduate, and it's going to be just as all I can do to carry the load I have to carry and graduate. So I think you probably would like to take that thing on." And he says, "I'm also losing my roommate, so I'd like for you to move in with me." And right away, quick as he leaves, which he's going to do ahead of time, and you can learn the business while I'm still here, and carry it on after, during the second semester, and then you can have it for next year during your senior year. So that sounded quite well, because I knew that made anywhere from $25 to $40 a month on that cleaning and pressing collection in the dormitory. So with my building attendant job and cleaning and pressing business, the money I'd made on the pipeline and what I was borrowing from the Lewentz Foundation, I got along excellently for next semester. A perk in the deal was that that second semester I was assigned the job for the physics lecture room for the room that I was to attend to, that and the physics laboratory. This old professor that I'd had the trouble with the year before would be setting up his stuff for experiments and what his lecture was going to be the next day in his physics class. And he got to teaching me some advanced physics. One particular class was an advanced class, which I didn't have to take, but by the end of the semester, he had taught me enough in demonstrating to me and explaining everything to me and practicing, I guess, his lecture, that I went for fun and took the examination and made the next to highest grade on the examination that anybody made. However, I couldn't get any credit for it because I hadn't enrolled in it. And there was no record of me ever being in that class or taking the course. During the year before taking the class in physics, if anyone, and particularly this partner of mine that we use the slide rules all the time, ask a question, they intimated that how could anybody be so dumb to ask such a foolish question as that. And but in this period, during the time when I was letting him practice on me while I was cleaning up the rooms, if I'd ask a question about something, he would go to great length to say, "That is a right good question, and here's the way it is." And he'd explain it to me in great detail, and any question I asked was explained very thoroughly until I really got it. And so I finally asked him one day why he was so set against slide rules. And he said, "Well, people ought to learn how to use logarithms if they couldn't just do it by figuring as he did." And I said, "Well, Professor, what do you think a slide rule is?" The only thing it is the use of logarithms on a stick instead of writing them down. And he says, "How is that?" So I went to quite a length explaining the use of a slide rule to him, how it was made and what it did. And he says, "Well, in that case, can you, with a slide rule, get exponential factors?" And I said, "Well, sure. It's much easier that way, using the logarithms on a slide rule, to get exponential factors than it is to go through a great length of time of figuring it with logarithms out of a logarithm book." And he said, "Well, I never knew that before. And he said, I guess I had better change my thinking on slide rules and let them get used more. He said, I know that in school here, time saving is something that needs to be done. Actually, I told him then, I says, the reason this fellow and I always had the slide rules with us was that we came from across campus after sitting in a strength of materials course where the professor insisted that you do all your work with slide rules, and if you didn't, you were flirting with a failing grade. And he said, well, I'll have to excuse you fellows then completely from all your slide rule work and have to apologize for the way I treated you in the class. And he and I became quite good friends after that, and I made it through very well that year. The month before before the finish of the year or so, a friend of mine came to me and says, what are you going to do this summer? I says, I have nothing in line right now to what I am going to do. I am going to have to stay for a couple of weeks, or at least a week, maybe two, after school is out to do some work I've contracted to do for the athletic department. And he said, well, I would like to take you and meet some fellows this evening that may interest you. I said, okay. So I went with him that evening down to one of the hotels in Stillwater, met a couple men, and turned out that they were recruiting college students to work for a collection agency out of Nashville, Tennessee, for that summer. And so I went with him, and we interviewed those people, and I signed up with them. And I had to go to a school in Nashville, Tennessee, starting about the third week after school was out. And so I went, did the work that I had to do for the athletic department, which was, I found out after started, was to be the tackling dummy, or the fellow that would be demonstrated upon in a football coaching course taught by Howard Zupke and Newt Rockne. This course was put on by for the high school coaches that were coming back to summer school, as all high school coaches then taught something in the high school along with doing the football coaching. I apparently was a excellent man to be demonstrated upon, because before the course was over, Mr. Zupke and Mr. Rockne approached me to travel with them and be that thing in other places where they were going to give the course. And I says, no soap, I've had all I can take of this. I was beat up, stiff and sore as if I had been through two or three football games. After the coaching school was over, I put what stuff I didn't need with me and started hitchhiking to Nashville, Tennessee. Took me 4 days to get there. Got there a day or so before the school opened, and they sent me to a hotel to stay in while I was at the school, and I had a roommate there who worked for a publishing company, and he talked me into things. I only had to go to school on the collection agency in the morning. This other publishing company that wanted me to sell books to people that I didn't know anything, and I could get them knowing something.